This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, another terrorist attack in France, this time knife-wielding ISIS terrorists target an 85-year-old Catholic priest during Mass. What does this latest attack tell us about ISIS's growing aggression? A member of the House Committee on Intelligence, Congressman Mike Pompeo, joins us in just a moment. And according to Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, the Russians are responsible for the release of the revealing DNC emails, which have caused an uproar in Philadelphia. So the question is now, will the DNC blame the Chinese for the logistical confusion that is being reported by journalists who are in attendance at the DNC meeting? CBN's David Brody joins me live from Philadelphia a little bit later. Also, breaking news out of Texas in the case of David DeLayden and the Center for Medical Progress, whose undercover videos exposed Planned Parenthood's trafficking in aborted baby body parts. David DeLayden himself joins us later with the latest. The website, TonyPerkins.com, you can find out more about today's guests, our topics, lots of resources there for you on the website. And if you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. A little bit later, we're going to go to the phone lines. That number, 866-372-7234. All right. As I mentioned, another egregious terrorist attack in France. The president of France, François Hollande, vowed to fight the Islamic State by all means. The killers stormed a church in northern France during Mass and killed Father Jack Hamel. By slitting his throat. A nun who was able to escape during the killing stated, quote, "They forced the father to his knees. He wanted to defend himself, and that's when the tragedy happened. They recorded themselves. They did a sort of sermon around the altar in Arabic. It's a horror," end quote. Now, these attacks are becoming all too common abroad and even here at home. Joining me now with more on this latest attack and what it tells us about the mindset of ISIS is a member of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. He represents the 4th Congressional District of Kansas, Congressman Mike Pompeo. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's great to be with you today.
Congressman, all right, your initial reaction to the intelligence of what happened in, as you've seen what has happened in France today.
Oh, goodness, we always know first reports are sometimes wrong, but we've got eyewitnesses now and a claim from ISIS that these were two of their attackers who have launched what has become a pattern of assaults all across Western Europe and the United States, extending the power, from their perspective, of the caliphate into the West, as they have always said that they would do. And we have watched as our government has sat by and allowed them to continue to expand and to grow and fail to recognize the Sharia-based motive that drives these attacks and these killings. We've got to get it right, and we've got to take them on where we find them, and we have to acknowledge this enemy, and we have to go crush them.
Now, Congressman, not all of our listeners know that you were an Army officer, a graduate of West Point. From a military's perspective, as we watch ISIS and how they operate, to me, this suggests growing aggression where they actually went into a church during a Mass and beheaded the priest. I mean, this tells me they are not in any form or fashion shrinking back.
No, that's right. Secretary Kerry said the other day, again, that somehow they were doing this because they were threatened or on the run. I think nothing could be further from the truth. This has demonstrated their capacity to extend their reach. And while we've had some small but useful gains on the ground in Iraq and Syria, this has gone on for years where we have allowed ISIS to build out its infrastructure, gain financial resources, test its operational capacity and its theory, reach through the internet and other means into the West, into the United States, to build out cells and teams ready to go die on behalf of their cause. This is not a receding threat, but rather a growing one.
And I think we should point out here, here's two terrorist attacks in a row in France, one with an 18-wheeler truck, the other with knives. So, you know, I know the left likes to talk about gun control, and that's going to solve the issue of the threat of terrorism. We see here that, in fact, is not the case. These individuals are determined to destroy life, and they will use whatever instruments are available.
Tony, you nailed it. It was it was so disheartening. When I was back in Washington a few weeks back, we all saw the protests on the House floor, attributing the violence that time in Orlando to guns, when in fact what we have are radical Islamic terrorists intent on the destruction of the West. You don't have to take my word for it. It's what they say and what they have begun to very successfully execute all across Europe and the United States. This won't recede because of one more gun law. It will recede when the United States and Europe decide that we're going to take them down each place that we find them and build out our own capacity to defeat these attacks in our own countries.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. I'm joined by Congressman Mike Pompeo of Kansas. He is a member of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. We're talking about the attacks earlier today in France. The French president, of course, the French are moving toward elections just as we are. How determined do you see the French authorities to take ISIS on there and stop them?
So France has its own special set of challenges in that they have an enormous connection to the Islamic world that has now proven deadly in their country. Their leadership, frankly, with our support, is going to have to become much more active, enact a set of policies that can begin to stop these attacks and not just respond and capture or kill these guys after the attacks. I think Mr. Hollande has been serious. He was, frankly, more serious than America in response to the Iran deal. But he understands. I think he's going to have to redouble his efforts. He sadly does not have a partner in our president.
Are there lessons here that we should be learning before they're taking place right before us? I mean, can we benefit from the tragedies that we see unfolding there in France and elsewhere in Europe?
I do think our intelligence community and our law enforcement have learned a great deal over several years, but frankly over the last couple months as well, as ISIS has begun to actually execute the plots that we had all feared that they would launch in the West. So I do think we're learning, we're getting better. But these networks are small. These are inexpensive, Tony, right? To conduct an attack like this, you don't need a big network, you don't need lots of communications, and you don't need lots of money. So they're an enormously difficult challenge. So what was required is a president who is committed to taking this on. Even then, one might not stop them all, but one could go a long way to taking ISIS away from being the big horse, someone that people want to fight with and for, and we would slow down the capacity for them to expand their ideology into places that we all live here in the United States.
What's the first step in doing that? As the next president, hopefully we're going to see a change, a regime change here in the United States, a new administration. What would be the first step?
I'm counting on the first step is to go deny them the capacity to organize and to structure. So take out every single place that not just ISIS, but the radical Islamic terrorists, which would include ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all of their offshoots, in the places that they train, in the places that they expand their culture, the places from which they gain their resources, their money, their capacity to communicate on social media. If we can take those down, we can take down their capacity to reach into the West, and then we've got to conduct real law enforcement and real intelligence in our own countries.
And we know where they are. In many cases, we know where they're operating. We know what countries are serving as host to them. And we've been afraid, in many cases, to go in because of collateral damage. We're concerned about harming relationships with some of these host countries. But if we're going to get serious, that's where we've got to start.
I remember President Bush, who famously said, either you're with us or you're with the terrorists. And I'll give you one more piece of data that shows this president has a fundamentally different view. Just last week, it became public, and we've known this for a while, but it's been classified, that Al-Qaeda is operating freely inside of Iran. Last week, Treasury sanctioned three folks who'd been conducting Al-Qaeda planning from Iran, and yet this president treats them as a partner in peace. You are literally either with us or you're supporting the terrorists, and we've got to make sure that every country knows this, and knows that we're going to go to the places we find their training ground, the places that they prepare, we're going to crush them.
Yeah, and we'll probably find out at some point that the billions of dollars that we turned over to Iran, that some of it made its way to these bad actors therein.
Undoubtedly, that's the case, Tony.
Congressman Mike Pompeo, thanks so much for joining us. As always, appreciate your insightful knowledge of what's actually unfolding there as it pertains to national security, both here and abroad.
Great. Thank you very much, Tony. You have a great day.
You do the same. Congressman Mike Pompeo of Kansas. Folks, this is, I see this in the way they're becoming more aggressive. And they've targeted here, this church, this Catholic parish was apparently on a hit list that had been uncovered sometime before from an ISIS operative. And they went in during Mass and literally beheaded a 85-year-old priest. Now, first off, and they call themselves soldiers for ISIS. First off, I don't know those who would call themselves soldiers that would kill the elderly, and especially kill a priest. These guys are, they're becoming more aggressive, they're emboldened, and I think a large part of that is just what Congressman Pompeo said. It's because they've gone unchallenged, primarily by the United States. Our president, this administration, has not taken a definitive, unequivocal stand against ISIS. Yes, they've said they're against them. They're trying to condemn. They've got them on the run. Wrong. They have not done what it takes. I mean, think about this. We defeated the Germans and the Japanese in World War II. In a far shorter time period than what it looks like this war with ISIS and Al-Qaeda is taking. I know there are some different factors. This asymmetrical warfare. I get that. I understand it. I spent 5 years working with the State Department anti-terrorism back in the 80s before it was a big deal. I understand how it works. But when you're serious about it, you can get it done. But if you're more concerned about the political ramifications of offending some in the Islamic world, you can't get it done. We're going to talk about this a little bit later when we open the phone lines. I want to know from you, who do you trust more? We're coming up on elections. Who do you trust more, the Republican Party or the Democratic Party and their leadership, which both parties are putting forward? Who do you trust more to defeat ISIS and keep America safe? We're going to talk about that here a little bit later on Washington Watch. But still to come, we're going to join in our next segment. David Brody with CBN is in Philadelphia this week. Reports of total chaos logistically. It's chaotic outside, and we know it's chaotic on the inside. It's actually quite funny. We're going to be talking about that with David Brody. And then breaking news out of Texas, David DeLayden, Center for Medical Progress. Remember, they're the ones that exposed Planned Parenthood, who, by the way, their president is speaking at the DNC tonight. The president of Planned Parenthood. David DeLayden, charges against him were leveled by the district attorney in Texas. He's been grand jury. Actually, indicted. And we're going to be talking with him because some breaking news on the state of that case. That's going to be coming up here on Washington Watch. So don't go away. We're back with more after this.
After crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land, God instructed the children of Israel to take stones from the river and make a memorial. When their future children would say, "What do these stones mean?" the parents would recount the Lord's deliverance of Israel from slavery and Israel's arrival in the Promised Land. In each of our lives, there are events that ought to be remembered, events where the Lord moved and delivered us. Whether we use stones, photos, or special celebrations, it matters only that we take time to remember what the Lord has done and pass that testimony on to future generations.
Since 1977, the American Family Association has been informing, equipping, and activating individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of America. The Lord has given us many victories over the years that laid the foundation for our work today and into the future. Learn more at afa.net.
What's at stake at this election? A lot. From the freedom to publicly practice and proclaim your faith, to the nomination of Supreme Court justices, matters of critical importance to Christians are looming in the days ahead. Family Research Council and FRC Action stand at the forefront of this battle. In these turbulent times, we trust in God's Word that He is for us and that He will give us a future and a hope of prosperity. That's why we invite you to join us on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voter Summit. Come to learn, be encouraged, and meet others who will stand for the renewal of this great nation. You'll hear the latest on the threats to our nation's security, your religious freedom, the privacy and safety of our children and grandchildren, and much more. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information and to register. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org, healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. By the way, let me again remind you, coming up September the 9th and 10th is the Values Voter Summit here in Washington, D.C. You will not want to miss this. A great gathering of conservatives from across the country. Look, this will kind of be the final huddle before we break to go out to the field for the elections in November. All too critical that we're on the same play and that we're working together, communicating. You'll have a chance to hear from some of the nation's conservative leaders, political leaders, and others, and breakout sessions that can help you go back home and put into action the things you need to impact not just the nation but your community. It all starts at the community, your church, your local community, your state, so on and so forth. So anyway, you can find out more. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Make plans now to join us for this year's Values Voter Summit. All right, Bernie Sanders supporters aren't the only ones frustrated with the DNC. So is the press, at least some of them. After a day on the ground, those who are often the cheerleaders for the left are already fed up with the horrible conditions at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. They aren't just talking about the gender-free bathrooms, although that's gotten its own share of complaints. The event is so disorganized that people like Yahoo's news editor-in-chief took to Twitter to complain. Quote, to be totally objective and nonpartisan, the logistics at DNC are appalling. Squalid hotels, sweltering workplaces, no directions, chaos, end quote. Doesn't sound like they're having too good of a time up there in the city of brotherly love. Joining me now with the latest from the city of brotherly love is the award-winning CBN News journalist David Brody. David, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Always great to be with you.
All right. Well, let me ask you, are the Democrats feeling the love up there in Philadelphia?
they're not feeling any sort of love. As a matter of fact, they're feeling the burn, and the burn is turning a lot of folks to a red face. Look, Tony, this is chaos. As objective as you can possibly be, even the liberals admit it's chaos. And we're about to get more chaos on Tuesday evening as they nominate Hillary Clinton for President of the United States, because we know now that Bernie Sanders will also be nominated for President of the United States, which means his folks are up there speaking, and it's bedlam again. And so I think what we have to see here, Tony, as the week goes on, is on the scale of 1 to 10, the boo factor was at an all-time high 10 on Monday. What will happen on Thursday? Will the boo factor for Hillary Clinton go down to about a 5 or under? If that's the case, well, then Democrats may be free of a sigh of relief. If it's 5 or over, in other words, if she's getting booed during the convention speech in prime time on Thursday night, Tony, this will seem like chopped liver compared to what that will be like.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The political parties, they all kind of jockey to get the last position to have the last convention so they can get the bounce coming out of the convention. She may very well take a hit and drop in the polls as a result of their convention, don't you think?
Yeah, I think there's a real possibility of that, Tony. And I'm on the floor. As a matter of fact, I'm right now at the DNC here on the floor. Well, actually, very close to the floor. If I was on the floor, Tony, I don't know if I could hear you. But I've been talking to Bernie Sanders supporters, and I say to them, hey, look, can you get there? Can you get there in terms of voting for Hillary? And they say, we're totally not there yet, and she's got a lot of work to be done. And then I say to them, well, you realize if you don't vote for Hillary, that's a vote for Donald Trump. And they say, well, hold on for a moment. We may vote for Jill Stein. We may vote for Gary Johnson, which, of course, is still a vote for Donald Trump. But the point is that there's a lot of work to be done. And, you know, it's so funny because the media would have you believe that there's disunity within the Republican Party and disunity in the Democrat Party. No, hold on. There's a lot more disunity here in Philadelphia. And I'll be honest with you, Tony, I am more surprised at the disunity and dysfunction here. I thought there was going to be more disunity, especially at the Republican convention when Ted Cruz got booed off the stage. But indeed, things are far worse here.
Well, the difference there in where there was opposition expressed to Ted Cruz, it was because he did not appear to be rallying around the party's nominee, which it appears to be the opposite there with the Democrats.
Well, that's right. Bernie Sanders, stepped up and did what he needed to do. He became the team player. And I have to tell you, I saw some nasty stuff on the floor last night, Monday night. I saw a Bernie Sanders supporter with duct tape over her mouth saying silenced by the DNC. She was holding a sign, and a Hillary Clinton supporter came by her with an "I'm with her" sign. The Sanders supporter took the Hillary Clinton sign and started tearing it up and pushing this woman. I have it all on videotape and put it up on the Birdie File Twitter feed. The point is that things are just downright nasty here, and so Bernie Sanders is trying to calm the folks here. But he started a political revolution. The question is, can he end it peacefully? And I'm not convinced he can.
Well, let me ask you, you mentioned about the comparison between the Republicans, because I was in Cleveland last week and the week before at the platform. And, of course, the left-wing press wanting to show and try to create division in the Republican ranks. Are they now going back and kind of doing a juxtaposing the Democrats to the Republicans and pointing out the fact that it is the Democrats that are divided and not the Republicans?
I don't think they've gotten there yet. The media has not gotten there yet, and I'm not holding my breath. But I will say this. There was obviously some negative press on Monday, but you know what? That's because there has to be negative press when you're chairwoman of the committee, of the DNC, is actually booed off the stage and then booted from the convention. So I think that the only way this is going to get negative treatment from the media consistently, and that's the key, consistently throughout the weekend into potentially the weekend and next week, would be if there are more boos that rain down throughout. It's going to be very interesting to watch Bill Clinton tonight, Tuesday night, because, you know, he's normally beloved at these conventions, but there are a lot of younger folks here in that Bernie Sanders crowd that are basically thinking, been there, done that, and they're looking for something different. So it'll be interesting to see if the former president gets some boos and not the deferential respect that he normally gets at these events.
Well, we will be watching. David Brody, thanks so much for taking a moment out to join us, and be safe there in Philadelphia.
Thank you, sir.
All right. David Brody with CBN giving us a live report from the floor of the DNC convention there in the city of brotherly love, but not too much love being shared there this week between Democrats. No more comment. All right. When we come back, David DeLeiden, the head of the Center for Medical Progress, joins us with breaking news out of Texas involving his case. Don't go away. We're right back after this.
Making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, it looks like U.S. stocks are struggling to find some direction this week after far too much direction, at least on the upside, on irrational direction on the upside. Over the last few weeks, apparently earnings weighing heavily. We've got an enormous amount of earnings from 3M, from General Mills, McDonald's, Verizon, Apple, so on and so forth. Guidance for the rest of the year coming out of these companies is very low, a lot lower than originally anticipated, indicating that the economy is going to continue to be weak and these companies are going to struggle as far as revenues go, sales go, not necessarily earnings. Earnings can be financially engineered in various different ways, and we continue to see that happening where that is possible anyway. But we're still looking for overall negative earnings again this quarter. Of course, another terrorist attack on France. It is being treated as a terrorist attack. I find it very interesting. I'll be down at the DNC, and one of the things that I was acutely aware of yesterday, among all the speeches, not one on national security, not one that named or talked about ISIS. None. No one wondering if it'll happen today. Because I think the American people, and yes, even those liberals that are supporting Hillary Clinton, would like to hear something about her plan to make us a safer nation. But I suspect it's not quite politically correct enough for her to give it too much time.
Experience Dan Celia in person. Find a faith, family, and finance town hall meeting or seminar near you at afafoundation.net.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, tonyperkins.com. All right, tonight, one of the speakers at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia will be the president of Planned Parenthood, Cecile Richards. Now, don't expect her to talk about this next story, because also today, earlier today, District Judge Brock Thomas dismissed the last remaining Texas grand jury charges against David DeLeiden and his colleague Sandra Merritt. Now, after releasing video showing Planned Parenthood's connection to the selling of baby body parts, DeLeiden and Merritt were indicted on multiple, and I would say questionable, counts. Texas authorities were initially investigating Planned Parenthood, but instead wrongfully decided to go after the Center for Medical Progress. They had a couple of misdemeanor charges and one felony charge. Well, thankfully, all these trumped-up charges were dismissed today. And I should note that the district attorney and those pressing these charges actually had connections with Planned Parenthood. But again, don't expect Cecile Richards to talk about that tonight when she talks on the platform at the Democratic National Convention, as that party has fully embraced abortion. David's going to be joined. Do we have David yet? All right, we're trying to connect with David to talk about this breaking news out of Texas. Good news. But this is how they operate. They try to intimidate and silence. Planned Parenthood has a history of doing this. They've got their political allies in various places, and they think folks will just, you know, crawl under a rock, go away, hide in a cave, do something just to get them off their back. Because, I mean, they have endless dollars to pursue and persecute. I mean, they get almost a half billion with a B, from you, the taxpayers. That's what we've been trying to cut off. And of course, they're funneling a lot of money into political races. I mean, they came out, first time ever, came out in the primary for Hillary Clinton. And of course, they've got a position on the stage. And I can guarantee you they will probably have an office in the White House if Hillary Clinton wins. And again, this is a good contrast between the parties. All right? I mean, look at the two parties. I don't think there's ever been a clearer contrast between the two major parties than what we have today. Look at the platforms. The Republicans actually call for the defunding of Planned Parenthood, while the Democrats celebrate it and want you to pay for it. Look at the presenters who they have speaking at their conventions. Again, clear contrast. Look at their procedures. The Democrats adopted their platform, as I made reference to, but they did it. They crafted it behind closed doors. Republicans did it on TV. And of course, I think it's very telling about the protesters. The Republicans had liberals protesting at their convention. The Democrats have Democrats protesting. Oh, what a contrast. All right, we're having trouble connecting with David DeLeiden, but this is really good news. And I have to say, this is a courageous young man who, first off, helped and did this undercover operation exposing Planned Parenthood. I mean, this was – several have tried, and there's been kind of, if you will, baby steps that have been taken along the way. Lila Rose, the part I write about her in my book, No Fear, she did this, and David kind of built upon that with this undercover operation exposing Planned Parenthood and others for the trafficking in aborted baby body parts. And now, as a result, there is a congressional select committee, a panel, looking at this sale of baby body parts. And they're making some progress in what they're finding out. And I suspect we're going to see some things come from it. And so the left is fighting back. Viciously. And of course, that was a part of these trumped up charges against David and Sandra. But fortunately, a judge saw through it and threw them out, cleared it completely. So that is no longer an issue. And hopefully, and I think it will, because we've had Marsha Blackburn, Congresswoman from Tennessee, on a number of times. She is the chairperson of the Select Committee on Infant Lives that is looking into this. And they found a lot of irregularities and potential illegal activities. You got to couch that as potential until charges are brought. But that's what the Democratic Party is embracing tonight when Cecile Richards is on the stage. Of course, this party actually now going further than ever before, calling for forced taxpayer funding of abortion. Never before. I mean, they've always agreed that taxpayers should not be forced into funding elective abortions. Not anymore. They're wholesale going to force every American to violate their conscience, to violate their religious beliefs, and be involved in abortion. All right, when we come back, we're going to go to the phone lines. I want to talk about this issue of national security, the rising threat of ISIS. Yesterday, the Democrats did not mention one time terrorism, ISIS, Islam, none of that. We continue to see the threat here and abroad. Who do you trust? Which party do you trust to keep America safe and to stop ISIS? Party of Hillary Clinton or the party of Donald Trump? I don't know. What do you think? I'm going to open up the phone lines when we come back. Don't go away. Washington Watch continues.
What does it mean to be equal? According to the dictionary, equal means the same for each person. Last year, the so-called Equality Act was introduced in Congress by adding sexual orientation and gender identity as protected categories under federal civil rights law. This act would give special perks to some people just because they identify as homosexual or transgender. It's important to remember that many bills introduced in Congress have positive-sounding titles that hide their true agendas. The Equality Act is a perfect example. This bill puts people who live out their faith on unequal footing under the law. It imposes sexual orientation and gender identity provisions on religious schools and universities, rejects the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and so much more. FRC's new publication on this legislation is a brief summary of the dangers this bill poses towards those who hold a biblical view of marriage and the family. Visit frc.org/equalityact to learn more.
What are students saying about Wesley Biblical Seminary? Here's Pastor Gary Adams.
I think one of the most valuable things through Wesley has been maturity in faith and spirituality in community as well. It's very difficult to spend time with the Lord and remain the same.
I'm John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Come and be a part of our community.
Apply today at wbs.edu. Wesley Biblical Seminary. Discover the difference.
Dave?
Over here, John. Thanks for meeting me like this.
What are we doing in here?
Well, you're one of the only people I know who shares my Christian beliefs. And this is the only place I know we won't offend anyone.
Don't cave to the pressures of society. Stand. Blog and share your thoughts on subjects that matter. See what others are saying and join the discussion at The Stand. Visit afa.net/The Stand.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty Health Share.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
All right, you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website is tonyperkins.com. Let me remind you, coming up September the 9th and 10th, the Values Voter Summit here in Washington, D.C. It is the place to be. If you're a conservative, want to get equipped, get ready for the elections, get ready to impact your community, this is it. Make your plans now to attend the 2016 Values Voter Summit. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. Also, while you're there, just a reminder that this program comes to you because of people like you who support the Family Research Council and Washington Watch. We do not receive any government money. We are a nonprofit. We are totally, 100% supported by friends across the country, partners who want to keep this ministry alive and well. To find out more, go to tonyperkins.com. All right, yesterday, as was mentioned earlier, no mention of the 61 speakers who took the stage, not a single, and this is, keep in mind, of all these terrorist attacks we've had, not a single mention of ISIS, Islamic terror, terrorist, terrorism, nothing, none of that. And, of course, we've seen, I mean, that's consistent with this administration, in my view, that has, it's just, they've allowed the world to implode, to ISIS to expand, the threats to grow, even to the point of being here on our own soil. Weakness is fertile soil for tyrants like this, for terrorists. So the question is this: who do you trust more? Which party do you trust to keep America safe and stop ISIS. You got two choices. 866-372-7234, the number to call. 866-372-7234, the number to call to get in on the conversation this afternoon. We're going to start in Ohio, where Mike is on the line. Mike, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say that Ernest Hemingway is credited with fame.
I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time hearing you, Mike.
Oh, okay. Ernest Hemingway says that the best way to trust somebody is to trust them. Hillary Clinton has been trusted with much, and she's not trustworthy. But I think that, like you've said many times before, we know what Hillary will do. We don't know what Trump will do, but I'm going to go caramel this whole time.
Yeah. I think I heard what you said, Mike, that trust. And we've had Hillary Clinton, who's been entrusted with a lot and has been found trust not worthy of trust. I mean, we look at Benghazi. We look at what she did with her email server, confidential, classified information. You're right. I think you get more of the same. If you trust in her. And I think I heard what you said there at the end, that we don't know what we get with Donald Trump. I would also agree with that statement. He does not have a track record, so we don't know. But if we make a calculated decision with our head, not our heart, we probably are going to go with the one where we may have some element of confidence that we'll have a positive outcome, where the other... There's no evidence to suggest that it would be a positive outcome. I think that was reading taking what you said, Mike, as clearly as I could hear it. Anyway, Mike, thanks for listening. I appreciate the call. Let's go to Virginia. Where is this, Andrina?
Yes, sir.
Welcome to Washington Watch. How are you?
I'm good, sir, and I want to tell you I really enjoy your show. I trust the Republican Party far more than I do the Democratic Party. I actually listen to Michelle Obama and Ms. Warren and Bernie Sanders last night and was appalled at nothing, absolutely nothing about national security.
Let me ask you, how significant of an issue is, or how important of an issue is national security to you when you go to vote in November?
I think that it's a huge issue for everyone. Our country right now, they talked about the Republicans dividing them while they're dividing us while they're in power. Who actually divided us?
Good point.
And national security is extremely important. We've got that poor priest that was beheaded or just had his throat slashed, same thing, today in France. It's during mass. We're up against people who see innocence as combatants just because they don't believe in Islam and Muhammad. And we have to protect our people.
I agree. That is the first, most fundamental responsibility of our federal government, is to protect the American people, bar none. It's not providing them with health care. It's not providing them with education. It's not, you go down the list of all the things that this administration is focused upon. The number one responsibility from a constitutional perspective, and a historical perspective, I should add, is national security. I mean, none of these other things matter if you're not safe. If you're afraid to go out on your own, on the street in your own country, for fear of becoming the victim of a terrorist attack, what good does it matter if you have, this government-sponsored health care? or if you have government paid for cable TV, or you have an Obama phone. An Obama phone's not going to do you any good when you're blown up by a terrorist. Adriana, good. Thanks for calling. Appreciate very, very insightful. I think you are in the majority. I think most voters in this election, at the very top of their list of concerns, is going to be national security. And I'm talking about social conservatives, evangelicals being in that number as well. Because, I mean, you pointed it out. These terrorists struck a priest during Mass in a church. They have no regard for religious freedom. In order for us to have religious freedom, freedom of speech, not be afraid to say what we want to say for fear of the terrorist striking. Look, we have to have national security. It's fundamental. That's why it's one of the first responsibilities of government. All right, we'll continue this conversation. Let's go to Texas, where Rita is on the line. Rita, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. This choice of which party would I trust most would have to be hands down the Republican Party. However, there are things that make me concerned about how much trust I can place in them, because there's been so much wishy-washy business when it comes to making decisions and taking votes, and then knowing how much infiltration we have within our own country, it just makes me sit back and pray a lot.
Well, that's actually a good place to be praying. But Rita, you too are not alone, and no one should put their full trust in a political party. I think you are 100% correct. Many people, when they look at the two parties, say, "Yeah, all right, it's a no-brainer. I'm going to put more trust in the Republicans to keep us safe." However, I don't fully trust them because they have been, as you described, wishy-washy. They at times have lacked the backbone, more than at times, a lot of times. And that's why we've got to, that's why you have to be involved. It's why we have to be involved in encouraging them and replacing them if necessary. But at least they can call, you know, the threat what it is. This Islamic terrorist threat. Radical Islamists. They're not afraid to say that. And I do believe that's one of the reasons that Donald Trump has gained so much support, because he's just not cowering to the left and this political correctness that is killing us, literally killing us. Rita, thanks so much for listening and for the call. Let's stay in Texas. Let's go to Carol. Carol, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm great. You know, I actually do trust the Democratic Party, but it's for a different reason. I mean, I trust them to continue to try to destroy any moral fiber in this nation, to continue Barry's legacy of, you know, decimating our military and lying to the people, you know, creating one scandal after another, and especially to make us more vulnerable to the outside terrorist threat by bringing those terrorists into this country.
So you can at least say that they're consistent.
Oh, well, I have every confidence that if Hillary is elected, she will continue exactly what Barack Obama has started, and that is to continue to fundamentally change this country until it is unrecognizable as a democratic republic.
Bingo. I think that was a crucial statement that you just made that I hope people across the country heard, that you have no doubt that Hillary Clinton will continue the policies of Barack Obama. Look, Hillary, in my view, and let me just get the Washington Watch and our related affiliates do not support or oppose candidates for president. What we're talking about here are their policies, okay? But what Carol just said is spot on. It's right on target. This is, in fact, I wrote this today. I think it was today or maybe yesterday, maybe it was today in my update, that Hillary Clinton will be Act Three of the Obama tragedy. I mean, it will. I mean, this will she will continue the big government, anti-faith, anti-freedom policies that Barack Obama has been pushing for the last 7.5 years. No question about it. And I'm with Carol. I trust her to be consistent with that. I absolutely do. Carol, thanks so much for listening and for putting that so concisely, which I hope your fellow Washington Watch listeners heard. It's, in my view, clear choice. In fact, I talked about that last night. I was on Fox Business with Lou Dobbs talking about that very point, that this is a continuation of what we've seen with Barack Obama. And the choice is quite clear before us. All right, they're going to work in a couple more calls here. Let's go to Louisiana, where Steve is on the line. Steve, welcome to Washington Watch.
Actually, it's Iowa, but that's okay.
My glasses are smudged, but not too far from Louisiana. Go ahead, Steve from Iowa.
First of all, I want to say I am grateful that your program and Crane Durham's and all these others are on so that we can find out some of the hidden truths and stuff that are going on that the general person is not going to know. So I appreciate that. As far as the trust issue goes, I definitely believe that the Republican Party is going to be the better for us. And here's my reason why, and I'm going to have to give you a couple backgrounds before I get up to. In Freemasonry, they take blood oaths that they will be the eternal enemies of all churches, mosques, and synagogues when they get up into the 17th degree. And I know that there's a lot of ties between Bill and Hillary with Illuminati. And the Illuminati is at the top of the Freemasonic organization ladder, and they do prayers and incantations to bring the will and pleasure of Lucifer upon them. And in Freemasonry, it doesn't matter what your religion is, as long as you believe in a supreme being. It could even be the coffee mug in front of you, as long as you have a supreme being. And you know as well as I do that there is only one true and living God, and that is Jesus Christ, and that so many of the Democratic Party do not know Jesus Christ. And they may say that they do, but unless they read the Word and let the words of the Bible actually penetrate their heart.
Steve, we got 20 seconds, so kind of bring this down for a landing.
Anyway, so because of Bill and Hillary's attachment to the Democratic, to the Illuminati and stuff, because I've heard a bunch of crap about Bill and people getting killed because of him. But anyway, it's definitely Republican that I cite.
All right. We've got to leave it there. Steve, thanks so much for calling, folks. We're out of time. Sorry we didn't get to the rest of you hanging on. But Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow, and I hope you will as well. We'll be talking more about the Love Fest up there in Philadelphia. Sorry, folks. It's amusing to me. All right, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where it says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, you've prepared, and you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.